What's your priorities? What's your priorities? I think practical priorities are the most difficult part of life. I think practical. Let me say that a different way. I think practicing my priorities is the most difficult part of life. I don't have any trouble deciding what the priorities are. I just have trouble living what the priorities are. Sometimes silly illustrations get across a point, I hope. So let me give you a silly illustration. There's a point in the illustration, but let me give it to you anyway. Let's suppose my wife's in the hospital. She's been in the hospital 2 days so far, and the doctors think she's going to be in there 2 more days. But I have tickets to the 7th game of the World Series that's happening today. She's been in there 2 days. She's going to be in there 2 more days. I'm not a doctor. There's nothing I can do to help anyway, right? The doctors need to be there to help her, but I can't help her. And I really like one of the teams. This is one of my favorite teams. They've not been in the World Series in years, and they've tied 3-3. 7th game of the World Series. Plus, most likely, I'll get back in time enough I can go by the hospital tonight. Right? What should I do? If you're a baseball fan, you probably answer one way. If you don't get anything about baseball, you may answer another way. But see, just practicing the priority. If you would ask me, what's more important, my wife or baseball? What would I say every time? My wife, every time. What's more important this afternoon at 3 o'clock? The 7th game of the World Series, or just happen to be in the room with my wife while she's probably going to be sleeping anyway? See, practicing the priority is the difficult part. Making the priority sometimes is difficult. Because in my life, I have found that there's never enough time and there's never enough money. There's never enough time and there's never enough money. So I choose priorities all the time. What am I going to spend my time doing? And what I find is that if I'm not careful, I spend my time doing things that I say are not my priorities. I would guess well over 75% of you in here, if I would have asked you, what is your top priority? I hope you would say God. God's my top priority. What is the most valuable commodity you have? Time. It's the most valuable commodity you have because once it is spent, you can't get it back. Once it is lost, you cannot make it up. It is gone. Whatever you did last week, that period of time is gone forever. Forever. You will never, ever get it back. People are always talking about saving time, but it's impossible. You can't save time. You can save money. You can take money and save it and put it in the bank. You got it. You can't save time. You can't say, well, okay, what I'm going to do is say, I'm going to save 10 hours out of last week, and I'm going to keep it for the future. So when I need an extra 10 hours, I got it. You can't do that. Now, I want you to be honest. I don't want you to answer out loud, because I don't want to embarrass you nor me. So I don't want you to answer out loud, but I really want you to answer. If you said God was your top priority, if you said God was your top priority, now I want you to ask, of the 168 hours of the last week, How much time did you give to God? And just in case you didn't get the connection, it's the same principle as whether I'm going to visit my wife in the hospital or not. See, we think and we say and we really do mean God's the most important thing in my life. But when it comes down to practicing that, He never gets any time. He never gets any time. I mean, we put everything else ahead of Him. Everything else. As a preacher, you'd be amazed at the things people tell me why they don't come to worship. And what they think they're saying is, Lee, my family, my visiting neighbors or whatever it is more important than you. But what they may be saying is, my family or my visiting neighbor is more important than God. You see, visiting my wife at the hospital on a particular afternoon when she's going to be there for 5 days, I probably could reason that out and said, it's okay if I do this. If I go to the ball game, that's okay. Because I'm going in the morning to see her, and I'm going at night to see her. I'm just going to miss that little time that I'm at the ball game, and it ain't long. And then we say, well, I'll read my Bible later. I'm not going to ignore my Bible. I'm just not going to do it right now because there's so many other things that I need to be doing. Oh, I'll pray later. Oh, I'll visit somebody later. God's my top priority. But how much time did God get last week? You see, what I say and what I do may be pointing in different directions. Now, it is possible to run off the road on the other side and say, well, I gave God 3 hours last week, so that means I'm really important. He's important to me. Or the worst one is, I thought about God all the time. I was doing all this other stuff, but I was really thinking about God. Priorities, practicing priorities, is the most difficult part of life. Several years ago, I read a success book, and most of you know I like success books. I read success books like most people read fictions. But I read a success book on saying, if you got a list of activities that you need, things you need to do next week that you got to do, that you ought to have a tournament. That you ought to have a tournament and figure out which one's the most important. So you got a list of 15 things you want to do. You put them on a sheet of paper. When you're just thinking of the list, you put the first one at the top and the next one at the bottom and the next one up here and the next one down here, next one down here, next one down here. And then you make a tournament thing. You know how to make that, you sports guys? Make a tournament thing. Out of these two, which one's the most important? Pick that one. Out of these two, which one's the most important? Pick that one. Then out of them two that you picked out up there, what's the most important? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. You know what happens when you do that? Probably the exact opposite of what you thought would have happened. Probably the exact opposite of what you thought would have happened. Just have a tournament. What is most important to me? I want to talk about fathers. And almost every holiday, Linda fusses at me because I have a hard time with holiday sermons. I get excited. I wrote a great sermon this week that had nothing to do with Father's Day. You may not think it was a great sermon, but I thought it was a great sermon. It had nothing to do with Father's Day, and I'm excited about that sermon. I told Lynn I was going to preach that. She said, no, you got to preach on Father's Day. You got to preach on Father's Day. I get excited about Christmas in the middle of July, and so Linda has Christmas in July, so we handle that one. But anyway, but I want to talk about Papa's practical priorities. Papa's practical priorities. And I'm going to say some things that may offend you a little bit and you may disagree with. But the first one is pretty simple. What should Papa's first priority be? God. God. That should be the first priority. But it should be practical. I don't just say God's my top priority. If God's my top priority, then he takes some of my time and some of my money and some of my interests, some of my thinking time. If he really is first in my life, then it's not just the theory that he's first in my life. It has some practical application. And we have a hard time because we say he's first in our life, but in practice, he's always last. Well, I shouldn't say he's last. He's always down the list. What's the greatest threat to what's first in your life? What's second in your life? The greatest threat to what's first in your life is not what's last in your life. What's first in your life, the greatest threat to that is what's second in your life. But let's talk a minute about God being priority. Jesus said, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6, 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Mark 8, 34 and 35, Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. That's Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. So Jesus told us that God's got to be first. God's got to be first. But that's got to be some practical application of that God being first. What does that mean on Monday when I've got to go to work that God's first? What does that mean on Tuesday night when I'm tired and worn out and really don't want to look at TV but ain't got enough energy to do nothing else? Okay? What does that mean that God's first? What does that mean that God's first when I'm at work and my boss comes in and says, listen, we can't turn in this report. We got to lie about this report. Let's tell them this and not the truth. What does it mean that God's first? Does it mean that I tell the truth no matter what? Or does it mean that I do what my boss says so I don't lose my job? What does that mean? If God's really first, then I would please God no matter what. Every time. I say God's first. Is he really first? There's 168 hours in a week. Is that right? Somebody help me. Is that right? 168 hours in a week. Many people work 40 or 45 hours. So I got a lot of sleep. How many hours? 8 hours a night. That's 56. Some of you laughed at sleeping 8 hours a night. But anyway, if I work 40 and sleep 56, what is that? Is that right? Okay. So then how many hours I got left? You don't know. That's a lot of hours. Let's just say of that amount of time. When did you say 75? What did you say? 72. 72. Just to say, that's 72. Don't even consider the other. Don't consider the work. Don't consider the sleep. Of that 72, how many did God get last week? He's first. And he didn't get no more than that. He's first. And the most precious commodity I have is time. He's first in my life. And he didn't get any more than that. God needs to be first. And that has some practical application. That we got to get down where the rubber hits the road. That means something in my daily life. Not just theory. It means something. For a husband, for a father, I think the second most important thing in his life is his wife. I think the second most important thing in his life is his wife. So the next time you want to be romantic with your wife, I want you to tell her, "You're the second most important thing in my life." You're the second most important thing in my life. And you know what? If she's a Christian and she knows what you're talking about, she'll be thrilled to death. She'll be thrilled to death that God's first. Can I give you another one of my silly illustrations? This was supposed to come into last, but I might forget it into last. But anyway, suppose my wife says to me, and she's got the children in as well, and they all agree, my wife and my children, that if we miss church this weekend and we use the tithe money, we can have a good weekend trip, a good long weekend trip. And my wife says I ought to do that, and my children says I ought to do that. So what should I do? You see, and some of you, that's funny. To some of you, you've been there. And your wife has said that. If we use the tithe money just this week, not every week, just this week, and if we miss church just this week, we could have us a good long weekend trip and be refreshed and renewed. Let's do that. Now, if my wife is second and my God is first, what do I say? Well, I don't think going to church is that important. I don't think going to see my wife at the hospital is that important either. I'm saying to you that you need to live what you say. You need to put into practice, and it has some kind of practical application. If I had 72 extra hours, not sleeping, not working, and God didn't get any of it, how about if my wife is second and she didn't get any of it either? None of my time. I don't want you to misunderstand me, okay? Make sure you understand. If you disagree with what I say, that's okay. But if you disagree with what I didn't say, that bothers me. Okay. I believe both men and women are interested in intimacy, having a relationship, both men and women. I think they just spell it different. Men spell it S-E-X, and women spell it T-A-L-K. And so when I say women like to talk, I'm not talking about what you think I'm talking about. What I'm saying is that sometimes, because of a woman's just natural makeup, she needs to talk. And she needs to have time to talk. And so she comes home from work, and work has been very frustrating, and she needs to talk about that. She needs somebody to listen that cares about her. Not somebody that's reading the paper and says, okay, yeah. Somebody that will really listen at her. But my favorite TV program's on. Let's talk later. My wife has accused me of going to sleep while she's talking. But the problem was she was talking while I was going to sleep. But anyway. And the problem is you'll misunderstand when I say women like to talk. I'm not talking about they talk more than men. That's what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that's the way that they deal with issues in their life. They need to talk about them. And they can talk about four or five different things at the same time. Occasionally I think, you know, my wife needs to learn to put a period in this sentence. She changes gears in the middle of the process, and I missed the whole point because we didn't change subjects. Don't stop talking about that one, then we start over on another subject. But anyway, As husbands, we need to give time and let them talk. They'd have a tough time and want to talk. We need to let them talk. And most of us don't do that. We just don't do that. We don't. It seems like such a waste when there's good TV programs on and she wants to talk about what somebody said at work. You know, I don't care what somebody said at work. Just forget it, ladies. I had a friend tell his wife one time, "Buck up, Bucky. Just put up with it. You know, you don't have to come home and tell me all those stories." But the fact is, if she is the second most important thing in my life, what will I do when she needs to talk? By the way, my wife shouldn't be in this service. It caused me a lot of problems this week. But if my wife is second, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says I need to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And verse 28 says I need to love my wife as I love myself. And I've always been fascinated with that, that Paul wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he said first in Ephesians 5:25, I need to love my wife as Christ loved the church. That's enough to die for her. And it was almost like he came back and said, some of you men probably don't understand this. I'm going to say it, really. I'm going to get it down to where you can understand it. You need to love your wife as much as you love yourself. You need to love your wife as much as you love yourself. And most men love themselves a lot. They look out for number one, boy. You know. And they just need to love their wife that much. What a great test. Just love as much as you love yourself. You know, that part about loving as much as Christ loved the church, that's true and it's in the Bible and ought to do it and all that kind of stuff. But that is kind of a high standard. So let's just say, I'm going to love her as much as I love me. Just going to love her as much as I love myself. And guess what happens to that precious commodity of time if I really do love her as much as I love myself? She gets a little bit of that time, right? My daughter and son-in-law have a date night every week. They've been married 12 years this year, I guess, in October. 12 years. And they have a date night every Tuesday night. I like that because I get to keep the grandkids. I get to go play with Zeke while they go on their date. But don't you think that's a little silly after 12 years to have a date night? You've been married 12 years? Isn't that kind of silly? Go on a date? Just them two? The child's not there, just them two? Now, I have to be honest with you. Sometimes they go to the grocery store. But anyway, but sometimes they go out and eat and go to a movie or something. But you see, romance has a shelf life. Romance has a shelf life. And it will go away if you don't keep stroking it. Probably not a good word, but anyway, you know, spoke into fire. Keep it going. We have to work at that. We don't have to work at it when we first fall in love. It happens automatically. But after a few years, you got to work at it. And if you don't work at it, it goes away. If you don't work at it, it goes away. Top priorities for fathers. First one is, what did I say the second one was? The third one is children. You mean my children comes after my wife? Yep. Come after your wife. And you're talking about being practical and trying to say, okay, Lee, you convinced me. I believe that's right. But boy, putting it into practice is really tough. Send my wife takes priority over my children. You see, your wife, that relationship, that close relationship, that interpersonal relationship will last your entire life until death do us part. Your relationship with your children, it'll last, but the closeness changes as they get older. Right? I haven't looked at statistics in years, so don't go quote me on this one. But a long time ago, I looked up statistics on divorce. And if people can last through the first year, they can make it through the first year, they can usually make it till the kids leave home. You know what happens when the kids leave home? They both have been so centered on their children that they don't even know each other anymore. Even when God was first, their children were second. And they let that relationship die. And when the children left, there was nothing there. Because romance has a shelf life. If you don't work at it, it goes away. It goes away. And you say, see, if you're young and just fallen in love, you think I'm really silly to say you got to work at love. I just love her. I don't have to work at this. This just happens, buddy. I'm going to love her all my life, man. It's going to be here. It ain't no way any other woman would ever tempt me. She's the most important thing in my life. But after a few years, if you don't work at it, it just fades away. You got to keep working at it. Most important thing in your life is God. There needs to be some kind of practical application of that. I think people can miss church occasionally and it not be a drastic thing. But I think it is drastic every time I decide that anything is more important than worshiping God. Anytime I make a decision that this is more important than worshiping God, that's a major, major decision. But I don't think it's sin to miss church occasionally. I don't think it would have been a sin for me to go to the ball game and not visit my wife at the hospital. But I would have had my priorities mixed up. Now, let me tell you this story because I want you to make sure that you understand that people are different. Linda's mother was a things person. She's not a lovey-dovey type person. And so when we went to Bible college in 1972, and we'd go home to visit, Linda's mother would go out and work in the garden while we were there. And like, it drove me crazy. What are you doing working in the garden? We are here just occasionally, and we want to visit with you. What are you doing working in the garden? Guess what she was doing working in the garden? Getting us vegetables to carry back home. And from her perspective, that was expressing real love. Seemed kind of weird to me, but to her, that was expressing love. So many of you will express love differently than others because of who you are. And if we're involved in a marriage relationship, we need to try to understand the other person, that they express in love differently. But we need to express that love. We need to somehow say, yeah, God is the most important thing in my life, and there's a practical application of that somehow. It doesn't just mean I say it. It means something in my life. It means something with my time, with my money, everything. My wife is second most important thing in my life. That has some practical application. It's not just a theory. It's not just a statement I make. It has some practical application. It means something day in and day out. My children a third. And it is really difficult to keep children behind God and your wife. It is so easy to put them first. It is so easy to put them first. And it is even more difficult today because most families, many families in today's society, their children are not even on the priority list. And it is a real, real struggle. Because you see, what's first in my life and what's second in my life and what's third in my life, what's 20th in my life is not the problem. Keeping those things straight is a problem. You know what will take most of our time if we're not careful? Our job. Our jobs. I've never preached at a big church, so I've never dealt with a lot of people. But the few people I've ever dealt with, I've never heard anybody say, never heard anybody say, I wish I had spent more time at work. I'm talking about when a person nears death and it's near the end and they know it's near the end. I've never heard one person say, I wish I'd have spent more time at work. Some of them will say, I wish I'd have spent more time with my family. I wish I'd have spent more time working for the Lord. Practicing your priorities is the most difficult thing in life. Is it easy? It's easy to state them. This is first, this is second, this is third, this is fourth. That's pretty easy. It is difficult to say, okay, what does that mean now? What does that mean this afternoon? When I want to take a nap, what does that mean? I need to put it into practice somehow. Let me take 2 seconds. Let me change gears. Take 2 seconds. If you're here and not a Christian, the Bible says you are a sinner. The Bible says your sin separates you from God. The Bible says that God loves you and Jesus died for you. And the Bible says you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior in order to be saved. In order to accept Jesus Christ, you must put your faith and trust in Him. You must repent of your sins. You must confess Him publicly. And you must be baptized into Him. And then be faithful to Him all your life. And even after you become a Christian, you still battle with priorities. In fact, sometimes I think it's more difficult for Christians. Because I know that God needs to be first. But boy, I want to tell you, it's great to have somebody to help you. And the Holy Spirit will help you.